Good morning, church. Welcome. Sunny morning. Hope everyone's had a great week. We're going to start our worship service now, so if you are able to, do please stand with me. And let's just lift up our worship this morning. If you'd like to remain seated, that's absolutely fine. But we're just going to come into the presence of the Lord this morning. God is always with us, but it's just good, isn't it, to be in his presence and worship and lift up this worship and this praise to our Lord, our Saviour. So let me just encourage you today, church, just to lift up and make these words, the words of these songs we're going to be singing, make them a prayer today, you know. We'll be singing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Lord, we just lift this worship to you, Lord. We want to see you this morning. We want to be with you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your presence, the way that you're going to be with us as we worship. You're always with us, Lord. You never leave or forsake, but we just thank you, God, for the way that you're just going to be in this place today as we just spend time with you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you high.
See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you high.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Mm-hmm.
to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Morning, church. Lovely morning. Nice to have a bit of sunshine for a change. Warm welcome to any visitors with us. Always seem to be seeing lots of new faces lately, which is nice. So if you are new or not been here for very long, then if you can stay around at the end for a coffee, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. I've just got a few things to highlight in the kind of life of the church. So Jamie is now on sabbatical. He's going to be away for a little while, and he's due back beginning of June. So we'll miss him, but we get to do what we want now, don't we? So I had some ideas. I thought maybe we could paint the church orange, and maybe some bolts of thunder on the ceiling. I thought maybe might be a nice touch.
Glitter ball,
that's a good idea. We are so grateful to have Jamie leading us here. And I just wondered if we could maybe lift Jamie up in prayer now, just as he kind of, it's been quite a build up for Jamie, getting to this point that he can have this sabbatical. So I think it will take a little while for him to actually sort of transition in that. But I think it'd be good just to pray for him quickly now, if that's all right. Heavenly Father, we lift Jamie up to you this morning, and we are so grateful for him and the way he teaches and encourages us in you in this place. So we lift him up. Please bless him. With this sabbatical time that he has, and yeah, just we pray your protection over him and Joe as well at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. I would just like to welcome Paul. I don't know where he is. Where is he? There he is. Paul is visiting us today. He's going to be sharing a bit later on. Paul is he's part of SEBA, which is a Southeastern Baptist Association. So he's one of the top brass there. So we've got to be on quite good behaviour while he's here. Yeah, no painting the church orange this week. Maybe next week we'll do that. No, it is a nice colour. Yeah, that's what I think. But, you know, not everyone might agree with that. It's great to have Paul with us. He's going to be sharing with us a bit later. So just a few things during the week coming up. So tomorrow at 7:30, we have the prayer meeting on the Zoom call. If you'd like to be a part of that, that's a great way to sort of like just get a bit of a deeper sense of what's going on in the church and asking and listening to God for those things. If you need the link, Carla's got that, but that goes out on the email, the link for that Zoom meeting, and that's 7:45. And other thing. We received a grant. We've got some grant money to do some works in the garden on the side here. So we're very excited about that. This is a great opportunity to sort of support a lot of the work the Haven does. I think it'll be a great resource to have to sort of bolster the work that the Haven's doing and also the kids' work. And if you're practically good at gardening or you are creative, you've got some creative ideas, Charlotte is going to pull together some people and she's going to get a meeting and then we can have a bit of a planning time for that. And there's a bit of fencing that needs doing on the boundary, but there's some other monies for doing works in that space. So yeah, get thinking about that. And if you'd like to be involved, you can email Charlotte about that. Good, I think... Yes, Emily, would you like to just come up a sec? So I didn't warn you, I probably should have done. So Emily, it was a great joy to baptise Emily last week, and we just have, we like a certificate at the church here, so we've got a certificate for you. There we go. So there you go. It just marks the occasion, and it was a great joy to baptise Emily, and how are you doing?
Good, I mean, thank you for not dropping me.
No, that was a pleasure, it was a pleasure, yeah. That's great, thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
I noticed actually that, I was just reading about Paul, and he became a Christian in 1979, and then soon after that he was baptised. And I was born in 1979, so it's a cracking year. if anyone is intrigued about baptism and what that means, or is interested, the door is always open. We are always up for talking to you about baptism and what that means. The pit is always open, I should say, rather than the door. But it's a really wonderful thing when someone decides to commit their lives to Jesus in that way. And I don't think it was that comfortable for Emily, because it's a public declaration that you're choosing to do that. And that takes some guts to do that sometimes. But I think it's a wonderful thing, because the people around us that can, our faith is really raised when we hear these stories of how Jesus has spoken to us in that way. So yeah, I encourage you, if you want to speak to us about that. We'd love to turn the tap on again, wouldn't we? I think that is it. Just offering. Yeah, if there's a few people that could take the offering baskets around, that'd be really helpful. If you're visiting, please don't feel any obligation to put anything off offering basket. This is, as something of those of us that worship here regularly, this is just our way of... this is part of our worship to God. So thank you.
church, we can continue to worship now.
The rocks cry out to worship. His glory taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing. But this joy is mine.
Let's sing that again, church.
The wells will rocks cry out to worship. His glory taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing. This joy is mine.
With a thousand
hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means I'll rise. There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done. I have eternity to drive.
With a thousand
hallelujahs, we magnify your name. Alone deserve the glory, the honor and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
Praise the Lord.
This song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
We worship you, Lord. We lift this up to you, Lord. And we thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lamb. praise to the King of Heaven.
Please be seated. We share communion this morning. I give a warm welcome to you and to those who are joining us online. If you're at home and you want to join in, please fetch some bread and some wine or juice and share with this moment with us. For us, it's an opportunity to celebrate together the love, the sacrifice, the resurrection of Jesus. And it's done through a very simple but obvious kind of expression. Jesus, who took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body." And he took the cup of wine and said, "Drink this in memory of me." And that's what we do. We remember Jesus. I wonder this morning, can you remember the first moment that your heart was utterly thrilled by the sense of the presence of God, the forgiveness and acceptance by our Heavenly Father that comes through knowing Jesus and being known by him? Maybe this morning, as we share together, that can be your offering of praise, of thanksgiving, and of confidence and assurance for the God who was there then is here this morning. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. Then I invite you to come and take bread and wine. Come up to the front and serve yourself, or maybe serve a friend or a family member. It's an opportunity for us to minister together in the grace of Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. Jesus, the joy of our heart, give us rejoicing. So now we draw near with faith. As we receive the bread as the body of Christ, as we drink the cup together and remember his death, we thank you that this death was for us forever. Now we are in your presence. And Lord, as we share these communion elements together, may you feed our heart and our spirit through faith, with thanksgiving, through bread and through wine. For Christ is Lord, and he is risen. Amen. Come then and take the bread and the wine. There is gluten-free bread on the table there if you need it. But I'd like you to come to take bread and wine and rejoice in Christ Jesus.
Song between.
Oh, I see. So I'm soon after he's been.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A couple of songs for a ship and then we'll end up back over to it.
Oh, and then the kids go out and then yeah. Paul can come on. Do a song. Yeah. And then he can come back.
Excellent.
If there's anybody who would like the bread and wine brought to them, could you indicate by raising a hand? As we share the last few moments of communion, the young ones are going to leave us for their activities and the youth are going out too. Let's just pray for them as they go and for those who are teaching them. Lord, thank you we are a family of all ages. Thank you that we are a community learning to love. May your peace and grace and blessing bring love to the young ones, the middle ones, and us older ones. Lord, in your presence, may we receive life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Richard, for leading that communion part of the service. And in case you didn't know, Richard and I go back many years. We were at college together. I won't say in what decade, but it was a long time ago, before most of you were born. And he was in the room next to me along the cloisters. That goes back a long time, doesn't it? Anyway, thank you for inviting myself and my wife, Pam, to be with you here this morning. We've both been members of the congregation over the years. And of course, you all remember the last sermon that I preached here, which was about 25 years ago. So you remember that one? It was a real humdinger of a sermon, but there we are. That was a long time ago. But I was also around in the days when you had pews here, when Roy was your minister as well. So that goes back a very long time. And you wouldn't believe I'm only 40. So there we are. Pam and I, we live in Aldwick, not very far away. So we pass this church very often, and I will park outside on occasions and just come to the windows to make sure that you haven't painted the inside orange. Because if you have, I would need to contact Jamie straight away. He said, keep an eye on the church, and I think he obviously knew about the painting idea. Anyway, in a little while, I'll be bringing God's word, but at this point, Jamie asked me if I would just share a little bit about the work of the Southeastern Baptist Association and also Baptist Home Mission. And I'm not going to be very long on this. If you want to speak to me afterwards, please feel free to do so. But I want to thank you as a church for supporting. I haven't checked recently, but over the years, I'm sure you have supported Home Mission financially, prayerfully, in many other ways as well. So from the beginning, I want to say thank you for your support of Baptist Home Mission. But you may well be thinking, what is Baptist Home Mission? What is it all about? Well, it's the Baptist family purse or wallet from which the Baptist Union takes money to spend on its work nationally, regionally, and locally. You are a Baptist church. You may not know that. You are a Baptist Union church. You're also a part of the Southeastern Baptist Association. So thank you for your support, and the money that you have given over the years has gone into this purse and wallet from which it is used in different ways. And if someone would like to click, oh, there we are, good. Did you know that every Baptist church is a home mission church? Why? Because every Baptist church benefits from home mission in one way or another. And you're probably thinking straight away, well, how will the Shore Community Church benefit from home mission? Well, in three ways. And the first way is this: national expertise. Most of the time, you won't need to be involved with the national resource, the DCOT, but your minister, Jamie, maybe your leaders will be from time to time. And there we have a Baptist Union building, which is orange bricked building in the high street of Didcot in Oxfordshire. And on, it's a bit of a giveaway because it's got Baptist Union outside of it. But on the left-hand side, you have the headquarters, if you like, of the Baptist Union. On the right-hand side, you have the headquarters of the Baptist Missionary Society, which you also probably know about as well. And if you ever need support about legal stuff, property stuff, safeguarding, ministry, and a whole load of other stuff as well, there's people there who will help ministers and church leaders in those times when they need it. So part of the money that you give to Home Mission goes to support the work of the national resource. Also, some of the money that you give goes to fund the 13 associations around the country. And of course, the SEBA, the Southeastern Baptist Association, is the best association, whatever Richard may say, because he comes from another association, has been in another association. But the Southeastern Baptist Association, that involves the whole of Kent, the whole of Sussex, the whole of Surrey, and even a bit of Northeast Hampshire as well. And in the Southeastern Baptist Association, we have various people. We have Joth Hunt, who's our team leader. You have yours truly here, regional minister. We have Joe Hayes as our safeguarding officer. Steph Tidy has been our administrator. She's been working for the Sussex Baptist Association and SEBA for 20 years as of the 1st of March. So she's been around for a while. My wife, Pam, is also my PA. She's the best PA in the world. I've got extra points there. Pete Butchers is our moderator. He's a minister of Upper Beeding. Richard Stanford, he's our operations manager. Cassie Fisk is our treasurer. Steph Tidy, again, our ministerial recognition coordinator. And all those people, are either some are paid, some paid full-time, some paid part-time, some are volunteers. And you may not see it very clearly, but the whole of the southeastern area is divided up into 9 geographical areas. And you're in, of course, the West Sussex network, and we encourage ministers to meet together regularly to encourage one another, and we encourage churches, wherever possible, to work together as well. So your money that you give to Home Mission goes to support the national resource at Didcot, the 13 associations. And associations, we do a lot of work, like the Baptist Union does, really, but we are the first port of call. So a lot of my work, sadly, is involved when churches don't go according to plan. You don't know that here, of course. You're the perfect church. You're my favourite church, in fact, in the whole of the Southeastern Baptist Association. Jamie's my favourite minister. I've told him that many a time. But we are there in the good times of churches and ministers, and also in the more difficult times, and we seek to help ministers and churches through those times, as well as a whole host of other things. We're there to guide and advise and encourage ministers and churches in a whole range of different ways, which I sadly haven't got time to go into this morning. National resource associations, and thirdly and finally, church growth grants. There are churches around the association that can't afford a minister, full-time or part-time, but they're doing a great work in mission and outreach and evangelism. And we want to encourage them by giving some money from the Baptist Home Mission Fund, if you like, for them to actually employ a part-time or full-time minister. And here are the churches that we are supporting this year with a grant. We have Gadala, who's the minister of East Worthing Baptist Church, and also he's the minister of the Arabic Community Church. It's the only church in the Southeast Baptist-wise where you need an interpreter when you preach, because they're Arabic, of course. Gadala, we have at Chiddingfold, up the road, Ajoa. And he's the minister there, again, a village church, doing a great job in the community there, but the church can't afford a minister completely, so we help them finance him being there. Likewise, along the road at Brighton, Neil Hilton, very much a pioneering ministry. Neil's doing a great job there. He's involved in a whole range of different things. It's not a typical church, if there is such a thing as a typical church. One of the things he's involved in is the local pub. He's the chaplain to a local pub, and also he's the captain of the darts team of the local pub. And he sees that mission, and I've often asked him how that is mission, but it is. He's having great opportunities to speak to people there in the pub. I like to call it Barstool Ministries or something like that, but good news. Brighton, Neil Hilton, Hawkins, way over on the east side of Kent. Alison Boddington there, she's the minister in that venue. It's a local leisure centre, a big one as well, and the church bought into part of that property many years ago, and where that bit is part of the leisure centre, and they meet there. So, Alison, Yalding, just south and west, I think a little bit of Maidstone in Kent. We have James Bushnell. He's a lay minister there, but he's in the last year or so he's been paid to work part-time. He's a councillor for a nearby centre, but he's also part-time working at the church, and that's grown from about five members, which were really just one family, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, past COVID, and now they've got a membership of about 35 to 40, so he's doing really well in that village situation, and we want to encourage that church by giving some money from Home Mission to employ James to be their part-time pastor. We also have Paulborough Brooks up the road again, Judith Ellis, they meet in the local village hall there. It was a church plant a good number of years ago, and again, they're doing well there, getting the gospel out into the local community. Pete Dibden up at Life Community Church in Horsham, that's right, in Horsham, doing a great job there. And Westvale Community Church, that's a brand new church plant. Westvale is near Hawley, sort of east a bit of Gatwick Airport, in between the two, really. And Miranda's gone there as a minister in training. And again, they haven't got a church building. They meet in a local school. But again, that church is growing. And again, that church couldn't afford a minister to lead them into all that they're doing in that community without the work and without the support of Baptist Home Mission. Strood, Kent, John Weston, we had a church meeting in a shop many years in a parade of shops. They owned a shop with a flat upstairs. The church closed, and a few years ago we decided we want to keep it open as a shop and as a cafe. And so John is a Baptist minister, and his passion is baking cakes, bread, and all the rest of it. And of course, it was a great match. So we called him there to not only make bread and cakes, but to run the cafe as a mission enterprise in that quite deprived area. Again, doing a great job, and that wouldn't be possible without the support of Home Mission. So remember, every Baptist church benefits from Home Mission in some way or another, and you do here at the Shore. You benefit from the national resource if you need to have that from time to time. You benefit from having your local Fenley regional minister in Aldwick, just around the corner. As an association, we are here to help you in the good times and bad times. And also, part of your giving goes to help these churches employ a minister to carry on the good work they're doing in mission and outreach in their communities. And if they were here, and I could spend much more time talking about all those different situations, but they would want to thank you as well. So thank you for your support. Once again, if you want to know more, please see me afterwards. I'm not dashing away. Thank you.
This morning, so we're going to do one more song. So if you'd like to stand with me, let's just lift up our worship and praise to God. Let's just bask in His presence this morning.
Yeah, I'm just going to read some words from 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. We're going to sing Freedom Reigns in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord
Thank you for all that you've given us in this life and for eternity. Oh Lord, we are so grateful. We lift up this worship to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to pray also for Paul as he comes now and shares the word with us. I just thank you, God, for what you're doing for us, Lord, and through Paul, the way that you're going to be speaking to us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts, open our minds, give us the hearts and the to receive your word and the ears to hear, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Great. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, either this type or the ones on your phone or iPad or however you have them these days, you may want to turn to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. And you might need the index to find that, or it's after Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. We'll look at a verse in a moment or two from that book. Now, don't answer me. Don't answer me. We'll be here for a very long time. But I wonder, do you and I keep the promises that we make to one another? I wonder, okay? Do we always keep the promises that we make to one another? I guess that we like to think that we do, but I guess many of us over the years have let ourselves down, as well as other people down over the years when we have failed to keep our promises. We all have, I presume, broken our promises at some time or another. In other words, we've basically been unfaithful to someone. We live in a world, of course, of broken promises. How many times have we said these kind of things to people over the years? I will be there in 5 minutes. Now, I guess from the laughters there, 5 hours later, we think, oh, should have been there five, you know. I'm doing that as though it's an old phone, isn't it? You don't know what that is, do you? On our phones, I can't speak to you now, but I'll call you back later on this afternoon. And 6 days later, we think, oh, should have rung them back, and didn't do it. You haven't seen someone for a while. We'll keep in touch for sure. And we never do. I'm guilty of that. I guess all of us are from time to time. Or you have a conversation and you think, I'll think about that and I'll get back to you. And we don't. And of course, in Christian circles, I'm sure I'm the exception. You do all this all the time, I'm sure, in the sense of, when you say you're going to pray for somebody, you do. But how often have we said, I'll pray for you, and then we don't? Yeah, I guess we're all guilty of that from time to time. We've broken our promises at some time or another. We break our promises. However, our God, in my book, and over the years I've been a Christian, way back to 1979, our God, my God, is always faithful. He is, in my book, 100% reliable, 100% of the time. He does not fail us. He does not forget us. He does not falter. He does not change. He does not disappoint. Our God says what he means, and he means what he says. And therefore, he does everything he says he will do. Now, just look at these words from Scripture, for example, and there's many of them, but Exodus 34 and verse 6, he is abounding in love and faithfulness. Okay, then Deuteronomy 32, he is a what? Faithful God. Okay, we're going to turn you into a Pentecostal church a bit here this morning, okay? So you've got to audience participation if you get it. Psalm 89, a great psalm about God's faithfulness. It says there in verse 2, you established your faithfulness, okay, in heaven itself. Psalm 89, verse 8, your faithfulness, great, surrounds you. Psalm 89, 33, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness, says God to us. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful. Someone said faithful before I got to that point. Yeah, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and God is faithful. And 1 John 1 and verse 9 says he is faithful. Great. These verses taken together. And other verses I'm sure you can quote, establish that God's faithfulness is not some minor part of his character or his being. To say that God is faithful goes to the core, I believe, of who God really is. He keeps his word, because if he didn't keep his word, he wouldn't be God. Now consider these other verses as well. And you may not see them all because of the light or whatever, but here we are. His word is eternal. It says there in Psalm 119, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. He will not change. Again, we find here in Psalm 119, God is as faithful today as he was yesterday. Your faithfulness continues through all generations, it says there in Psalm 119. And then thirdly here, he is reliable in all his works. Psalm 111 says, the works of his hands are faithful and just. Again, another verse here. He is faithful even if we are not faithful. 2 Timothy 2 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's it. Our salvation depends on God's faithfulness as well. It says there in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Being a Christian disciple depends on God's faithfulness. It says there in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Another verse here, our future resurrection depends on God's faithfulness. It says there in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in him. I wonder, are you getting the point for this morning's service here? It's all about God's faithfulness to us. I hope you are getting that this morning. I think hopefully you'll be able to take away with you. If you forget everything else that goes on here this morning, and you forget everything else I'm going to say, you'll remember that word faithful or faithfulness. Okay, God is faithful. If you've been around church, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you'll probably know that. But what can we take with us into the rest of this day and into this coming week about God's faithfulness? So what? Well, few things here. When you get discouraged, remember God is what? Faithful. That's right, he's faithful. You see, we all get discouraged. Some people get more discouraged than others, for whatever reasons, but all Christians get discouraged. Now, if anybody's ever told you as a Christian that you shouldn't be discouraged, see me afterwards. I'd like to sort of talk to you about that. All people, all Christians get discouraged. If you never get discouraged, ever get discouraged, again, see me over coffee. I would like to know the secret of your success. I really would. God is faithful. I get down on occasions, but when I do, I try to remember God's faithfulness to me in the past. I read his word to encourage me, and I try to remember always that God is on my side. When you get discouraged, remember God is faithful. When you doubt your eternal salvation, remember God is faithful. Have you ever felt that you're not good enough to be a Christian? Yeah, I don't know if you have or not. That's what I thought, over the years, but particularly when I was a younger Christian. I looked around at Christians around about me. I was in the boys' grade. I was involved in a church because I fancied the minister's daughter. She's here this morning. So I was around church. But I looked around at the Christians who were there, older Christians, boys in the boys' brigade who were Christians. And they were so good, you know. I thought, well, that's what I thought anyway. When I got to know them, I realized they were just not ordinary human beings. But not being good enough put me off being a Christian for a very long time. How could I ever get to heaven, I thought. I could never be like them. They prayed prayers which were in another language, and I'm not talking about tongues here. There's a language of Zion, as we used to say, okay? And I thought, I could never, ever pray like that. I thought I was simply not good enough to be a Christian. But getting to heaven, of course, has nothing to do with being good enough, is it? You and I will never be good enough to get to heaven. But the Bible makes it very clear indeed that Jesus gives eternal life as a free gift. And we can be assured that as soon as we repent of our sins and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are going to heaven one day. When I die, hopefully it's not going to be just yet, but when I die, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not being presumptuous or anything there, because I know that what it says in Scripture and what Jesus has done for me and for you on the cross of Calvary and through the empty tomb. Because what he has done for us, you and I can know, if we believe in him, that one day we will be going to heaven. And that's for eternity. And that's a very long time, I'm told.
God is faithful. He won't change his mind in that. What does it say in John 14? It says there, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," says Jesus to his disciples, because they were a bit concerned as to what was going to happen, you know, after they died. And Jesus says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," he says to his disciples. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. And what's more, I'm going there to prepare a place for you in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going," Jesus says in John 14. And then Thomas, one of his followers, one of his disciples, said to Jesus, and I'm sure the other disciples were asking the same sort of question, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered those powerful words, even more powerful today in this, in the cultures and the society in which we live. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father, no one gets to heaven except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him," Jesus says, "and you have seen him." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then you are assured of life in eternity. When you doubt your eternal salvation, remember God is what? Faithful. Okay. When you are tempted to sin, remember God is faithful. What does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians 3. "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." And then in 1 Corinthians 10, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." God is faithful. He won't always take those temptations away from us, if only he did. But he will offer you and me the strength to stand up against those sins. Remember, Jesus endured temptation, and we will as well. He resisted and he overcame, and we can as well. Why? Because God is faithful. When you get discouraged, when you doubt your eternal salvation, when you are tempted to sin, remember God is what? Faithful. When you mess up in life also, remember God is faithful. The great thing about being a Christian is that when we mess up, when we go our own way rather than God's way, when we allow sin to penetrate our lives, is that the end of the story? Are we condemned forever, for eternity? Brilliant. You answer, you know my script in front of me. No, fortunately, no, we're not. Why? Because Scripture says in 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all our wrongdoing, our unrighteousness." He is faithful. God is faithful. And remember, all of us has sins, says the Bible. Again, if you've never sinned, see me after the service. Again, I'd like to know the secret of your success in that respect. But the Bible says all of us have sinned. We all sin, no matter what we do or say or not do that we should have done and all the rest. When we do that, when we sin, is God saying, "Well, that's it"? No, he's not. He is waiting there with open arms, waiting for us to come back to him. And when we come back to him, he will tell us again, he still loves us, and he allows us to start again. As the old hymn says, "New every morning is the love. New every morning is the love." I love that story in the Gospels, of course, you know, one about the prodigal son, where the son wanted his share of the inheritance, so he got it from his father, and he went away, and he used all that inheritance in wild and reckless living. Had a lot of friends around him at that point. And then the money ran out and everybody left him. Oh, what a surprise. And he was so hungry, what did he do? He went to the farm and he worked as a laborer there, and he was so hungry he ate the food that he was giving to the pigs. And the Good News version, I think, says he came to his senses one day. He woke up and he came to his senses. He thought, hang on, what am I doing this for? I can go back home. I can be a servant in my dad's household. I'll get clothes, I'll get food, and everything will be fine. And so the son headed home, didn't he? And you remember in that the account how the father was looking out for his son daily. And he saw his son in the distance, you know, turning the corner and coming back towards him. And what did the father do? Did he wait until the son got to his feet and said, look, I told you so, you know, had a bit of a go at him? No, he didn't, did he? We read that the father ran down the road with open arms and embraced his son, who was dead but was now alive, who was blind, he now saw. That's the love of that father to the prodigal son, as we call him. And that's the love that God has for each and every one of us. When we mess up, he's always there. I don't understand that. It blows my socks off when I think about the fact that God always is there. He always loves me. He always forgives me. I don't understand that. And I've been to Bible college for many years. I've studied God's word. I don't understand it, but I accept it. I believe it with all my heart. He is a faithful God. He's my faithful God. When I mess up in life, he doesn't run away from me. He's there waiting. And when he sees me, he's not going to have a go at me. He's going to welcome me back home with open arms. And you'll be pleased to know, because the screen's getting rather full up, this is my last point. When you feel weak, remember what God is faithful. What does the writer to the Hebrews say in Hebrews 10:23? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Yeah. Over my years as a Christian, and particularly over my years as a local pastor, 26 years, I was at Aldwick Baptist Church for 15 years before I took up my role now 15 years ago. I was at Aldwick, where Simon is now. And before that, I was in Maidstone and another church near Dartford. And during my 15 years as a regional minister as well, there have been many times when I have felt weak. Weak spiritually, weak emotionally, weak pastorally, weak in leadership skills, you name it, I have felt weak in it over those years. Even as a pastor, and you think pastors are immune from those things. No, they're not. We're human, believe it or not. Your minister, Jamie, is human, okay? We are human beings. We suffer. We get down on occasions. We feel weak so often in our leadership skills and all the rest. And what I needed then was not only to be reminded that God is faithful and God loves me. I also needed to know that my brothers and sisters in Christ also loved me. And that's sometimes where it didn't always happen. I'm sure it's perfect here. I'm sure Jamie, he hasn't spoken to me about you, so that's good, in a good way. Ministers speak to me about their churches when things are going pear-shaped, so he hasn't done that at all. So I'm really pleased about that. I'm sure, Jamie's got sabbatical now, but I'm sure, and if you don't, may I encourage you to do this all the more. Support him and his wife and the family as well. In the good times and in the tough times. They are humans. They need encouragement. Not only from God. They get their resources. They get their encouragement. They get the reassurance of God is faithful. They get that from God. But they need us as well. And I've been in churches too where those churches don't support their ministers. They don't even support one another. They come to church on the Sunday morning and they get into the vertical dimension of worship, which is great. You know, they're worshiping God and all the rest, saying, God, you know, we love you. And that's fantastic, of course. That's the vertical dimension of worship. There's also a horizontal dimension of worship as well. Fellowship, you know, sharing with each other. And sadly, in my role, I see so many churches and individual Christians being those people who are putter downers rather than builder uppers. I trust in this fellowship we're all builder uppers of one another, including Jamie as well. I trust that we all leave from the same door at the end, as it were, rather than some going around the back and trying to avoid somebody at that door, you know? I've been in churches where you have been as well, maybe, where this side doesn't talk to that side, you know, and they go through separate doors. I'm sure that's not the case here. But remember, when we find it tough,
I digressed a little bit there, but when we find it tough in ministry, when we find it tough being a Christian, when we feel weak, remember God is faithful. Now, what can I say by way of conclusion? Well, God has been faithful to this church in all its ups and downs over the years. In fact, the author of that great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, are we singing that at the end? No, we're not singing that at the end. Not worry. Okay. I suggested it, but we're not going to do it. But some of you will know, Great is Thy Faithfulness. No, okay, maybe you don't. Okay. Well, the writer, the author of that old hymn, okay, was a chap called Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. And he had his ups and downs in life as well. And Thomas knew, and we can as well, that new blessings from God can come to us each new morning. As the Bible says in Lamentations, this is where the Bible verse is that you can take away and chew over for the rest of this week. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 says, His compassions they fail not, depending on your version. His compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. As I got there, or this version here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Thomas, the writer of that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, knew that only too well. And also, when remember this, when the writer of Lamentations wrote his words here, it was when the nation round about him was falling down before his very eyes. Jerusalem, the great capital city of the Jewish people, was being destroyed before his very eyes. The place where God lived, as far as the Jews were concerned, was no longer. The city was burning down. The temple was being destroyed. The people were being taken into captivity, into Babylon. In fact, the writer of Lamentation gave five laments, five passionate expressions of grief, sorrow, and regret. And in the final lament, the final prayer, he prays to God for restoration. That didn't come overnight, but it did eventually come. But here in chapter 3 of Lamentations, the third lament, the writer says that despite the fact that he and the people felt in a very dark place, crushed and battered even to the point where all hope was dying, faith still rekindles at the thought of God in his love and his mercy. When all is lost, there comes the knowledge that God is always near and is always faithful. So for this church and for each one of us, in times of encouragement, we all have those times of encouragement. There are times of discouragement. However, this book, in my book, Scripture, the Bible, shows us very clearly indeed that just as God has been faithful to us in the past, as churches and as individuals, we need to continually be faithful to him. It's a relationship. It's a marriage, if you like. And we need to keep on keeping on, even through the tough times. Why? Because God is always faithful to us. My God, and I trust your God, is a faithful God. He will never, ever let you and me down. Even in those times when we feel weak, when we have messed things up again and again, when we are tempted to do our own thing and sin, when we go through times of doubt, when we go through times of discouragement, remember God is faithful. Indeed, great is his faithfulness. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, your word is always there. It's constant. Father, help us to get into your word. Help us to love your word. Help us to live your word. But Father, thank you for reminding us this morning of your faithfulness, your great faithfulness to us. Father, thank you for the way that you've been faithful to us in the past, as you will be in the future. Maybe today we're finding it a bit tough for a whole variety of reasons. Father, help me, help each one of us to refocus in on you and to remember you're always there. You're not going away, and you're there ready to pick us up and to dust us off
and allow us to start again. We thank you that new every morning is your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was absolutely brilliant. So, it was a great word, great message. Just, I'm sure that spoke to everyone, spoke to myself, and it's really, really just fantastic to hear. So, church, we're going to finish with our worship service now, but if you are able to, do please stand with me. And let's just lift up our voices. But as I said earlier, you can remain seated, that's absolutely fine. But our God is a good God, a great God, who cares and loves for us. Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus is our Redeemer. And there is power in the name of Jesus. So, church, let me just encourage you just to make this last song your prayer today. I'm going to speak Jesus over every situation. Speak Jesus over our families. Speak Jesus over our jobs. Speak Jesus over our lives. Speak Jesus over health. Nothing is greater than our God. Every situation we can lift up to our Lord, He hears us because He's faithful to us. He loves us. He cares. He has ears to hear. All we need to do is just lift up. We know that we don't need to be anxious. Peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we lift up and we give thanks for what He is going to be doing, for who He is. So let me encourage you, church, let's just speak Jesus over the situation. So as we sing these next words, Lord, church, let us just lift them up to the Lord and speak Jesus over those situations.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
'Cause your name,
'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
'Cause your name,
your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life.
Break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
shout Jesus,
shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
shout Jesus,
shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
it's your name.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love.
Yes, it is love. Break every stronghold,
break every stronghold, shine through the shadow. Church, because your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Lord, we speak Jesus over our lives as we now go about our work for this week, and our families for this week, Lord, and the community. We thank you, God, that you will be shining through us, Lord, into those darkened areas. Lord, we thank you, God, for the way that you're going to be speaking to us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're going to be using us. When we pray, Lord, that you just power us by your Spirit, Lord. And we lift up every situation to you, God, knowing that you are faithful. Knowing that you never leave, you never forsake, you are always there, that you love, you care, you provide, you redeem, you forgive. God, we thank you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, thanks. It's been great.